Accession number 5385, reel 3.
Mr. Greenberg, reel 3.
I had in the ambulance two cartons of Flag cigarettes, and I debated whether to go through the ambulance or go through the front and drop into the drain and then go into the house, which was across a road. The first cams, it was there. First aid post, they had a Red Cross, but they were in trouble because they'd been firing from it. I decided to jump out, and I wasn't. We never had any rifles. My rifle was lost in the Empress of Asia, and the number was Y83609. I took the two cartons of cigarettes and I ran across the road, went into the house. And there were a lot of wounded there, a lot of arms, Mills bombs, hand grenades. And Archie Barber, who was the captain, you know, who was the doctor, was treating one or two of them. Then he said to one of the drivers, Hatfield, he said, draw your ambulance up to the house. Yeah. It was a house built on a hill, on a slope, you see. And George Hatfield drew his ambulance up, came in, and the Japs sent tracer bullets through its tank. The ambulance caught a light. It set the house on a light. They were screaming. We had to carry them out and get them into a garden. And Archie said to us, put your hands up. And we put our hands up, and there were two Japs with rifles across the other side of a hedge. I remember going through an avenue of Japs, just like you were getting married. And at the end stood a very tall Jap officer with a beard, and he had a map. And I had these two packets of cartons of cigarettes. And just before I got to the end, a Jap wife took my watch off. And I was going to say, wife gave it to me, but you couldn't. I had a steel automatic watch. In those days, they were a bit of a rarity, you know. And they put us in a tennis court. 509 of us were in that tennis court that night. The Japs had machine guns all round. But to their credit, they gave us back things they'd taken from us.
Did you get your watch back?
I didn't get my watch, no. Like paybooks and maybe money, I don't know. I didn't have any money. Didn't have any money at all. But later on I did. I'll tell you about that after. So there were eight of us, you see, because Jock Brown, being a medical orderly, had gone into the houses alongside the tennis court to look after the wounded. And there were eight of us drivers. That night we went to sleep. My boots were my pillow. My long putties are wound round my body. And we lay huddled up to each other. In the morning, the warrant officers of the first cams sorted us all out, because the majority were the cams. He sorted them out into companies or whatever you. But we were in what he called the odds and sods. That morning, too, Japanese officers came round and gave us a cigarette. I know when they came to us, we said, thank you. No! Arigato gozaimasu.
What does that mean?
Thank you very much in Japanese. You had to say it in Japanese. Arigato gozaimasu. Our only food that day was a tin of water and some biscuits. That evening, we were in one corner of the tennis court. A Japanese came to us and they wanted 10 men. We didn't know what. He said, so we said, well, two of you keep our positions, you know, and six of us go down, whatever. And we went down to a ration dump. You know, it was a British ration dump, but belonged to the Japs, having captured it. And we had to take up food for the rest of us. And the Jap also said, put in your pockets what you want yourself. Well, we did, as much as we could. And we pushed a barrow or something, I forget now. But I remember having a tin of sultanas, and we rationed for amongst the cams. If you want some sultanas, we want a packet of fags from you, you know. I smoked in those days, not now. So we were there from the Sunday until the Friday. On the Friday, we marched 18 mile to Changi. Changi's in the northeast part of Singapore, you know, and we were in a hut, just the eight of us, and somebody went to fetch our officer, Captain Hind, who I saw a few months ago. Incidentally, he was Lord Mayor of Norwich in 1952, and he's not a well man now. But we lost one of our lads, and I went to the funeral some 3 months ago, and I went to see him first before going to the funeral with another chap called Matthews, who's a farmer up at Barnby in our unit. So Captain Hind came to fetch us, and we all stood in a line, and he shook hands with every one of us. He said, well done, well done, well done. And he said to me, especially you, Greenberg. So I was so elated, you know, really elated, and didn't know what, nothing. And he took us to a hut in the India Lines at Changi. It was called the India Lines. I suppose Indian troops had been there at one time. And I remember walking in and feeling I was a king coming in. They all came rushing towards me. They thought I'd been killed, see, because I'd gone out in an ambulance, unknown, on the Sunday, you know, like I said. And it was a wonderful reception. It was a lot of wooden hut, you know, and there were wooden beds, but no mattresses or anything like that. There was camouflage strips done as webbing, like plaited, see. So I had nothing, only what I stood up in. Nothing at all, no money. I had a couple of knives. When I was searched by the Japs, I didn't go down deep enough in my pocket. I had a couple of knives, and this corporal Hunt came to me and said, "Jack, come in with me. I'll give you half what I got." The boys ostracised him, you see. I said, "All right." So he had 64 Singapore dollars. He gave me 32, and I slept under his bed. Our life was a bit strange, and I think a lot of the lads thought they'd be free in 3 months, and I said to quite a few, 2 years, just 2 years. I was wrong, but still, 2 years. I made myself never to think of my wife, because it wouldn't do me any good. We went on IJA rations, Imperial Japanese Army rations. That means rice, 3 weeks after we're taken prisoner. And I was appointed messing representative for the whole hut in the cookhouse. Part of my job was sorting out the weevils in the rice, you know. We used to suggest what the cooks could do, you see. And also, I was on the ration party, collecting the rations from Singapore in the lorry once a week, which was a good job.
When you went out into Singapore, when you marched through Singapore to Changi, what impression did you get of the attitude of the civilian population?
We didn't see many. I never saw it. I can only tell you what I heard, and it's absolutely pucker. The Japanese murdered so many Chinese on the beaches of Changi. Singapore's an island. So many. It must have been terrible. The carnage must have been terrible. The Malays were pro-Jap. The Chinese were not. The Chinese always helped us. So in the early days we were doing drills on the Changi, and the Japs didn't like it. You see, the generals all ordered us to do drills. So that was one of the reasons I believe that everybody, all the brass hats, had to go to Formosa. On May the 2nd, 1942, I was on a working party to go into Singapore, and we went to Thompson Road, a camp in Thompson Road. Our objective in work, or slavery as you'd call it, was the Japs had captured so many cars and vans, and they'd towed them to 3 different car parks off the Balestier Road. which we used to walk there. Take us about half an hour, I think. March there. And I was on number 2 car park. We were split up into parties of 5, and you had a Jap soldier in charge of you. His name, the one we had, was Hamakawa, a little Jap. He suffered a little bit from malaria. But every morning, he used to, when we used to assemble, he'd say, "Hey, Megane," that's me, glasses. Say, "Megane is glasses. Kochikoi, come here." We say, "Come this way," don't we? They say, "Kochikoi, Kochikoi."
By turning the hand downwards.
Downwards, yeah. And we were taking the engines out and taking the bodies off and leaving the chassis, you see, and I don't know what they did with them, but the engines were taken out, and a Jap used to come round with a couple of the prisoners, or two Japs used to come round painting on each engine what year and everything. And if you had a Rolls Royce, no good. No good. But Ford, okay, car. Ford was all right.
Why was Rolls-Royce no good?
You ask them. Yeah. But, Ford, okay, car. And, well, we used to put sand in the gearbox. We used to sabotage things, you know, as much as we could.
Was anybody ever caught sabotaging?
No. The Japs were commanded by a sergeant called Ishii, and he was very, very man with a sword. And the custom in the Jap army, you know, when there was rows, we used to see it. A corporal salutes a sergeant, a lance corporal salutes a corporal, a private salutes a lance corporal, you know. It's all saluting. And anyway, we were looked after when we used to march up off the Balestier Road up to the car park. An old Chinese lady used to thrust loaves of French bread into her arms, you know. And you had to be very careful you weren't caught with it, because the Jap would go berserk. I had a little girl as well. I don't know her name. She used to, at lunchtime, she used to bring me food.
Was this a Chinese girl?
Chinese, no, a Malayan. Maybe a Malayan Chinese. No, I can't. I tried to see them when I went in 69. I went to Singapore, especially. But you see, a lot, 69 was too late. If I'd gone in early 50, would have been better, but I couldn't afford to go then, you know. So,
What did this little girl do for you?
Brought me food. Only food. Yeah. And I had to hide in a lunchtime, in a vehicle, you know, on the edge of the perimeter of the camp, you see, or the ground that the vehicles were on, you know, big field. It was a big field. Some of the We had one or two Scots boys with us, and they were a bit cantankerous with the Japs, and the Japs threatened them with the sword and things. It wasn't very pleasant. I remember going back to Thompson Road Camp one day, And I'd been smoking a pipe, perhaps, I don't know, or a cigarette. We used to smoke Java tobacco, you know, roll it and smoke it. A sheet of newspaper used to make 80 cigarettes. I think a Jap must have seen me when I was going along Thompson Road. And when we marched in threes, and we turned to be counted before we went in the camp, he came and back of me and caned me right at the back. I complained to the MO. He said, "Well, I'll dress it for you, but you can't do nothing about it." He probably saw me smoking, see. I had a great friend who was a farmer up in Wales in my unit called Taffy Humphreys, Bill Humphreys, and slept next to him, and he was taken back to Changi with, I forget now. He had a sickness that I could have caught. One thing the Japs liked, if you could wrestle, you'd be their friend. They liked wrestling. I won't tell you about this British officer, you know, that was during that day in Singapore. But I will tell you this, is that until the middle of August, from May the 2nd until the middle of August, we were at Thompson Road Camp. We had one day off in 10, and we could do our washing then, wash our clothes, and the Jap officer, Suzuki, used to come round and inspect your kit. And I had quite a few tins of, I had some bully beef, M&V, soup. That didn't matter. He saw it. That didn't matter. Somebody had a mirror, a double-sided mirror. He took it away. You can't have two mirrors, he said. We used to have on that day off, we used to have a sing song. And we had a chap, he was in the Sergeant Langley out of 53rd Brigade. He was a pretty good singer of army songs, and you know that old army song, "The Same to You," and the Jap was applauding because we were all laughing, so he laughed and applauded. He didn't know the Jap was. He was sitting with the British officers listening, you know.
Whilst you were doing this work on the vehicles, were you actually living in Thompson Road Camp?
Yes, we had to march back. I used to say to Hamakoa, you have a yasume. A yasume is rest in Japanese. That's the best word in their language. Yasume. I had a house for 18 years. I didn't name it though. I was going to name it yasume. So we moved to Serangoon Road Camp in Singapore. One thing happened at Thompson Road Camp which rather upset us. We were in a hut, and the Japs had their headquarters in the camp up a very high hill overlooking us. We were like in a valley, if you know what I mean. The huts were in a sort of valley, and the road was outside, and they had a run up. They could see, and some timber was stolen by some of the lads in our hut. They asked the officer to get us to return it. Nobody owned up. In the end, he ordered the Japs to lash out at us in the hut, and we all ran out. I can't remember now whether the wood was retrieved or not, but it hurt me to have a British officer order Japs to hit us.
Could we go on to where we left off, where you said that you were moved to Serangoon Road?
Yes. We moved to Serangoon Road the middle of August 1942. And that was a mixed camp. And we had various jobs to do in Singapore town. Although I never got on to the best job. The best job was to take all the urinal mess to somewhere in Singapore and get rid of it. That was the best job, apparently. But I was cutting grass. I was taking barrels, empty barrels, from Ford Works off the Bukatimah Road to the docks. And I remember one incident. One day we'd loaded empty barrels on a lorry. There were one of us sat with the driver, three sat on top of the cab, and I sat at the rear with one leg off outside, with the barrels in between the rows of barrels. And we go down the Bukatimah Road, and the Jap took a right turn too late, turned very sharply, by a police station, incidentally, and the three chaps sitting on the cab went sailing through the air. And I think they all had their arms broken. They were treated by the police, and I was very fortunate. I sat at the back, you know. When we got down to the docks, and sometimes we were working on the docks, occasionally there were German ships come in. And the German sailors, or the crew, gave us food. The Japs didn't like it, but they told them where to get off.
The Germans told the Japanese where to get off?
Yes. Oh, yes. After Serangoon Road, we went back to Changi very early in January. One of the reasons was that the Chinese had complained that we were doing the labour very cheaply. So the Japs sent us back to Changi. We weren't doing anything in Changi at all. I went in with Corporal Hunt again. Early in March, his name was on a draft going up country. So I went to see the adjutant, a man called Captain Wadsley. He was in 18th Division Div Troops, as they called them, Div Troops. He was RASC. So, and incidentally, he was town clerk of Briargate for some years. I said to him, "Sir, can I go on the draft that's going up shortly?" He said, "Why?" I said, "Corporal Hunt's going on it." "No, Greenberg," he said, "your name's not on it. You're not going." Corporal Hunt died there. Had four diseases, so I was told. When I came home, I went to see his mother in Poplar. And I received a Christmas card from her for over 20 years till she died. On April the 24th, 1943, I was in a party of 750 British troops to leave